from us telling our sustainability story, it's never been from a standpoint of feeling like we need to educate the population. It's more just providing the information of what they're already looking for. So we're providing a service by sharing what we're doing. You know, we're providing the information they're looking for in an avenue that can be trusted.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Your Dairy Checkoff podcast. I'm Amanda Freund, a dairy farmer from Connecticut, and I'm joined by Austin Allred, a dairy farmer from Washington. Today, we're talking to Tara Vanderdusen, a dairy farmer and social media influencer from New Mexico, and Melissa Hildebrand Reed, a Kansas dairy farmer. In fact, her family just won the International Dairy Federation Association's 2022 Innovative Dairy Producer of the Year. And the topic that we're focusing on today is sustainability and how we share that message with customers. I want to actually start by asking Austin, what does sustainability look like for you on your family's dairy farm?
Thanks, Amanda. First of all, a little intimidating. You three are very good at telling your story and doing everything you do. And to be on this podcast with you is an honor. Sustainability has always been very important on our farm. In the last decade, we have added worms to our system to help make it work a little bit better. So really where I'm at on sustainability is trying to understand and then share how ruminants, soil, worms, and the whole process works together to be symbiotic and regenerative. So that's really what we've been focusing on. And it's been really, really fun to, one, learn from all of you on social media, and to just try to become better as the time goes on.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, it is an ecosystem. We are participating in and crafting the ecosystem that we want to live in. And for me, the way that sustainability really kind of is displayed and showcased on our farm is that we are turning our cow's manure into a value-added product in the form of biodegradable pots that hopefully gardeners and growers all around the world will use instead of plastic and peat. So what started literally in one bay of our farm shop as a silly idea has actually gotten some legs under it. And we're shipping our crap all over the world. So I actually want to kick this off to our two farmer guests. And I want to understand why you personally felt like you wanted to share your sustainability story from your dairy farm.
This is Melissa with Hildebrand Farms Dairy in Kansas. I have kind of a unique background in that my parents were divorced. So I actually grew up part-time in the urban area and then part-time on the farm. And so as far as urban, my classmates growing up in elementary school knew nothing of farming. So from a very, very young age, I understood exceptionally well the gap of understanding and knowledge of agriculture and what we do, but also like the thirst, like that interest and the curiosity that was associated with the conversations when I'd say like, yeah, my dad dairy farms, and they'd ask like, what you do for fun? And I'd say feed calves, and you know, the questions would just start rolling in. So I've always been really close and having a good understanding of that. But then once we started processing our product and selling it direct to consumer, just a level of engagement and interest and curiosity from us telling our sustainability story. It's never been from a standpoint of feeling like we need to educate the population. It's more just providing the information of what they're already looking for. So we're providing a service by sharing what we're doing. You know, we're providing the information they're looking for in an avenue that can be trusted. And is true, right? Because it's what we're doing. You know, it's us truly sharing the full picture and giving them a full glimpse of every aspect. And we do that through social media, but we do that with a lot of on-farm experiences as well.
Why did you decide that it was important to start sharing your sustainability story?
My journey to sharing, I feel like, was maybe a little bit unconventional just because I don't have like a traditional job on a dairy. Like I was a consultant for multiple dairies throughout New Mexico doing environmental work. When I first started sharing, it was about 6 years ago, which is not that long ago, but in the space of sharing online about sustainability in agriculture, it's a while. Like people weren't really talking about like greenhouse gas emissions. They were talking about it, but farmers weren't talking about it. The general public was asking questions, but farmers weren't talking about it. So when I decided to kind of share online, I had a lot of encouragement from Dairy Max, our checkoff, to start sharing. And I just remember telling them, I don't really know what I'm going to share about. I don't work with the cows. I don't do anything that's related to cow health or milk quality. And I just felt like that was most of the conversation online coming from dairy farmers was more like the animal welfare side of things. And then it kind of just clicked that I was had just had my daughter. And so I was in a lot of mom Facebook groups. And it was crazy to me to see how many of the comments and questions around serving cow's milk were about environmental impact. And so it was kind of like, I guess my aha moment, I need to lean into it, what I do and what I share about and just be about sustainability. And so that was really what led me to start sharing our sustainability story. Was simply, it was just my background. It was what I was doing. I was working with soil health, water quality, you know, cow manure, the lagoons. And it was funny because when I told my husband I was going to share, it was kind of the classic response of like, I don't know what you're going to share about. Like, we don't really do anything unique on our dairy. Our dairy is not very like high tech or anything. Like it's a very basic dairy compared to all the rest of our dairies in the area. But it goes back to just the fact that everything we do on our dairy is, you know, unique or surprising to people who don't dairy farm, or don't farm at all, that you can just share the simplest, smallest little piece of information and people can find it so intriguing and have so many questions, just because it's so outside of their realm of, you know, their day to day. And so that's what I've really found is just sharing the simplest things about sustainability can have the biggest impact on and biggest response from people, questions that you get and conversations that get started.
You both do such a good job too. I pay attention to both of your social media, and Tara, you have done really good at filling that niche for the sustainability. You said that in your experience, farmers were slow to talk about greenhouse gases. Why do you think that is?
There's a really big disconnect, obviously, a lot of times in agriculture, where we just get inside our bubble, we get in our like tunnel vision and are just so focused on ag. And we think everyone knows and is doing what we're doing because we live in like rural communities. A lot of times we hang out with other farmers, ranchers, just other people in ag. And I feel like when a lot of us, you know, next generation kind of coming to the farm, went away to college, it, for me, it just opened my eyes to an entirely different way of how people saw agriculture, what they thought about it. And so, you know, coming back, it was like, everyone's talking about sustainability and agriculture's impact, except for farmers. And so we were a little late. I really think it was about though, if we don't talk about it, like nobody will be talking about it. And instead it gave everyone else the chance to establish a storyline and a narrative. They kind of gave us our own narrative. And I think it's led us to playing a lot of defense to combat misinformation versus if we had just come out and been like, we have a really great story to tell and we should be sharing it. It could have really changed that narrative. But now with where we're at, there's still a ton of opportunity and a ton of positive stories. And I still believe so strongly that we should all be sharing our sustainability story.
And the irony, Tara, is farmers have the ability for the largest impact, I think, amongst anybody, any other industries out there. What we can do with our soil sequestration and the whole methane conversation, we are in such a strong position to be such a positive impact on the carbon story and the greenhouse gases.
I feel like that's such like a mic drop statement that you're just kicking off this podcast with such a powerful statement, but it's so true. In other industries, they are buying carbon credits. They have to pay for those credits. They're not actually making a sink. Like agriculture already is a carbon sink. Sure, it's only by 1%, but we're just at the beginning. We're already a carbon sink. Like imagine where we're going to be in 10 years. We all know we've set these goals for 2050. I think we're going to blow those out of the water. We can only improve from here. And so while we're improving, we just need to make sure we're taking people along on that journey.
Well, I'm one of those farmers that sells thousands and thousands of carbon credits to other industries so that they can reduce their impact. Because at the end of the day, everyone else is racing to be most improved in the carbon conversation, whereas we have the opportunity to literally pull carbon out of the air and sequester it and bank it in the soil. Us, forestry, are the only real industries that have that option. Mm-hmm. There is some stuff going on in the oil industry, and they can actually, their technologies of pulling carbon and putting it back in the ground. But really, naturally, it's us in forestry that can really actually eliminate, reduce carbon, not just put less out there.
And using the resources that we have, it's not investing in fancy new technology necessarily to be able to do that. I want to jump on something that Melissa said earlier, where you said it is not about educating the consumer, right? It's about sharing an experience and exposing them to what it is that you're doing. And I think in my mind, that's where the conversation around our environmental stewardship as farmers is hard, because it is science, it is information. So right. I'm wondering, how do you share that sustainability message without feeling like you're educating consumers, but you're sharing something that they can have an actual like empathetic and emotional reaction and response to?
I think we've learned over time that nobody likes to be told or educated if they're not interested. If they're searching for information, by all means, let's share it. But if they're just in their natural habitat and just living the day to day and scrolling through social media, they're more than likely not wanting to hear a lecture from a dairy farmer about our sustainability goals. But they are interested in cows. They are interested in what we're doing. We can kind of incorporate and just share the day-to-day. That sustainability message comes through. I talk about sustainability in three parts, and I always boil that down and make it very basic level when talking about it. When I'm talking to consumers, I oftentimes say, you know, sustainability for me is three things. It's taking care of my girls, it's taking care of the land, and it's taking care of my farm so my kids can potentially farm if they want to in the future. That's it. And so all of that is pretty easily communicated from our day to day. You know, so as we provide tours of our farm, we spend a ton of time talking about how we take care of the girls, you know, whether it's water resource management, utilities and electricity. Everything we share within that tour is in a focus of keeping our cows sustainable, the land, as well as our farm. I mean, essentially that hour is a sustainability seminar in and of itself, but we don't call it that. We don't label it that. We're just sharing what we do. Because as farmers, so much of our effort goes into sustainability in those three categories. Pretty much that's what we live and breathe. We've just never really put it into context. And I don't even know if you have to use the word sustainability with it to really make that point drive home. It's just what consumers are looking for and wanting to know.
You've seen me speak. I have a slide that says we need to stop educating our consumers. Like, our consumers are very educated people. They just don't know anything about agriculture, and they don't like being told that they don't know about where their food comes from. Like, when it's something as personal as food that you serve on your family's table, you don't like being told you don't know anything about it. And so it's really like about taking them on that journey. One of the things I have found when you get like questions or comments, the root of almost all questions, no matter what they say, is they just want to make sure their food is safe, nutritious, and good for the planet. Like, they are just want to do the best for their family. I think anytime you go into a conversation with that in mind, that people, even if they come off as defensive or combative, and decide, obviously, there are people that are the extreme, but the average American is just wanting to make sure, like, the very basics of the food, that it's those things. And so I love that you break it down into that simple strategy, because I do think that's the root of all of it.
It's been my experience that the gap, Melissa, you started with, Tara, you're talking about it now, this gap between farmers and these consumers, rural versus urban. In Washington, it's the east side versus the west side. This gap really is not as big as we make it out to be. In your experience, Tara, Melissa, do you think that's accurate?
I do. I think the average American is somewhere in the middle and they're curious, like kind of like what Melissa said, they genuinely do want to know more about their food. And they're interested in our lives and our lifestyle. And so, I mean, like, look at the success of a show like Yellowstone. You know, people are interested in the entire idealistic lifestyle of living on a farm or a ranch. And so I think there is a gap, but I don't think it's as like complex, I feel like, as we like to think it is.
I think the gap is narrowing, but I think that for a while as farmers, we felt like there was a line down the middle of like almost good and evil. And that we kind of almost alienated people that asked questions because they were potentially on the bad side and questioning what we were doing and taking things, you know, those were the extremists. And that's such a small, minor sector of the population that for us to spend our time and our energy worried or consumed about such a minor area of the population is really doing us a disservice. In 13 years of selling my product direct to consumer, I've had maybe two negative encounters of some sort that were no more than maybe 30 seconds of my day. All of the thousands upon thousands of people I've talked to and impacted with my dairy story, it's not even a blip. And I think that we spend too much time potentially worrying about that sector that I would consider like not the movable middle, you know, the pretty staunch, you know, animal activist side. And in doing so, we're missing out on the true majority of the consumers. That I always joke, like I have an innate ability to turn any conversation to dairy farming and cows. I don't care who I'm in a room with. By the end of the day, we're going to talk about dairy farming and cows. And I don't know how I have the ability to do that other than the fact that I say what I do and the interest and the curiosity just goes, you know, and it's on, right? And so I that's what tells me that there's more people than not that want to know and are really open to learning. But they don't want to be educated.
I have found with sharing online too, is sometimes not focusing on it, but just every once in a while highlighting some of the crazy activists and kind of the extremists goes a really long way of then consumers and just the general population realizing that when they see a video online to not just believe it, like when they get to see kind of the behind the scenes of what those type of people are saying to farmers, they really come to our defense more often than not. And so I definitely don't try to make it a focus of my page at all, but just sprinkling it in there as a reminder of like, this is why you shouldn't believe everything you see on the internet that's negative about agriculture, because this is the type of person that's putting that content out there. And so I personally have found a lot of success with that, with just kind of confronting it a little bit, just head on.
I will say when I host farm tours, especially to high school students, there is in fact a opportunity to talk about critical thinking. I mean, you wouldn't think that when you bring a class onto a farm that that's what I'm going to be talking about. But to highlight the fact that what they're seeing, what they're being exposed to on my farm might not be lined up with what they've heard, what they've seen, and that's okay. Like, but I'm going to tell you about what we do here, and I'm going to let that be a nugget that you can hold on to and use when you have to confront something that might contrast that. I want to know, in practice, what are you doing? Like, how are you sharing that sustainability story? Is it exclusively online? What is it?
I personally do a combination, I feel like, of things. I share obviously online. I have a blog and a social media presence, but then also just doing basic outreach within my community even. And then broader than that, like speaking, anytime I can get an opportunity to speak someplace, I definitely try to take it and go there and share about dairy sustainability. I think one of the great things about advocating is it can be so personalized to what you love to do and where you want to be. So you can be just on social media and never have to like leave your farm or house, or you can be more in person and attend events or speaking. Opportunities for advocating by agriculture are endless. It's just you saying yes to whatever you're comfortable with and whatever you love to do and whatever feels like authentic to you.
So with our on-site farm store, we have a customer base that's coming to our farm constantly. For us, it's just, you know, creating dialogue, just being like, hey, what are you cooking for supper tonight? You know, and just starting conversations. So we do a lot of one-on-one through our farm store and then sharing kind of what we have going on here and creating those personal connections. Social media is huge. I want to share as much as we can on social media by just showing kind of glimpses of what we have coming and what we're doing day to day. But then also, you know, as I had mentioned previously, our tour is essentially a 1 hour sustainability. Here's what's going on in the world of dairy. And I will say, you know, on our farm, I don't feel like we're doing anything extremely special or innovative in the world of sustainability, like Austin is with worms and so many other dairymen are doing. Us, we're doing the little things well. We're taking care of our girls, and we put a lot of focus to the land and utilities and the infrastructure around us. And those are the little things we share. Why I'd love to be doing, you know, some methane digesters and really cool stuff that's happening with manure separating and all sorts of stuff. It's just not necessarily in the works for us right now, but we're always, as we're looking to expand and grow, sustainability is huge in our mindset. You know, that's there at all times.
Well, I just want to say, I want to highlight that point. As a dairy farmer, you see your peers, you know what is available on dairy farms. And so it is so easy to say, well, I'm not doing that, that, and that. But for your audience, for the people that are buying your product, you are the dairy farm. I think a lot of dairy farmers are quick to say they aren't doing the best thing out there because they know somebody has a bigger digester or somebody's doing, you know, some crazy cool recycling activity. But that's only within our niche, within our little dairy farming community. But outside, the people that we really want to deliver this message to, they don't know that. They have no idea.
I'm glad that you mentioned that. A big like pillar of mine is sharing that sustainability doesn't have to be complicated or complex or expensive. Sometimes sustainability just has to be a little baby step in the right direction. I always use the example of like recycling water. You know, if every time a dairy farmer does something that just recycles a little bit more water and then their neighbor does it and it, you know, ripple effects from there, that saves, you know, millions of gallons of water. That's how we've gotten our water reduction over the last, you know, 20 years is because of small changes in the barn. It's not anything, you know, complicated or big, but I, at the same time, I obviously love those big projects. As Austin's known, I traveled up to his farm just to see his biofilter system. Like that's what's amazing though about farming is every one of us is so unique. It's so specific to you that you have the opportunity to share whatever it is you're doing. And even if your neighbor's doing it, like recycling water, the consumers don't know that. Like you have to remember who your target audience is when you're talking online or sharing anywhere is that you're not sharing to your fellow dairy farmer down the road who's doing exactly what you're doing. You're just trying to highlight what you're doing to other people. And I even make that part of my story is like, I will often hear from consumers, well, sure, you're recycling water, but not all dairy farmers. And I'll be like, actually, almost every dairy farmer I know is doing this exact same thing. And by making it personal first and sharing my farm story, but then amplifying it to say, actually, most dairy farmers are doing that. I think then the consumer starts seeing all of dairy in a positive light. And just, you know, that we're all striving to do better, even if we're making small changes, or if we're all hoping to one day have a biofilter, like we're all like working towards something or doing something to be more sustainable.
I'll add to that, Tara. I think the ruminants are superheroes. Our girls that we all employ are the greatest recyclers on this planet Earth. What they're doing on a daily basis to support our soils are beyond anything that anybody can really imagine who doesn't understand what we're doing on the dairy, the conventional, the very basic dairy farm. These girls are recycling, upcycling, making the most available proteins out there. I think it's been a, up to this point, we've talked about the gap, if you will, the misconception maybe that for the old time farmer that might be a little nervous to get into social media, maybe the gap's not that big. I think that's part of what we talked about. And then And then now we're discussing how we are all sustainable because we employ bovine. We are employing some of the greatest creatures on earth to do amazing things, regardless of how many worms or digesters or whatever it might be that we are using. We all have a story to tell. What is your advice to the person listening right now who's saying, okay, you covered that one. I'm not scared of the 1% activist. All right. Thank you. Okay. I am sustainable. I am doing it. Okay. What else do you think is keeping the farmer, the everyday farmer, from being more active?
Time. I would say time. I feel like farmers are like, I am doing so many things and I can't add one more thing to my list. And I think that that's a valid like concern. It's a valid thing to bring up. I mean, at this point, like sharing as New Mexico Milkmaid is a huge part of my job. And that's just not feasible, obviously, for everyone. But I do challenge that to say that it doesn't have to be that complicated. You can put into it as much or as little as you want. Getting on a consistency schedule is really great. Scheduling posts out, like you can sit down on Facebook and schedule, you know, all your posts for an entire week in like 30 minutes. A lot of people share, you know, Instagram stories is a great example. That doesn't have to be complicated or time consuming at all. If you figure you share 10 Instagram stories that are 10 seconds each, that's literally 100 seconds of your day, like a minute and a half. And it goes a really long way for people feeling like they're a part of your entire day. But that's me. I think that time is really like the next big obstacle.
I will say that even myself, I struggle sometimes to stay on top of social because it can seem like a larger time commitment in my mind than it truly is. So I personally have to put it on the calendar and dedicate 15, 20 minutes of my week to it. And when I do, I feel so relieved and I'm like, God, why do I make that such a thing? But sometimes I do. But you know, for let's say that older generation farmer that is still maybe even social media averse, I think we need to encourage them to just talk about what they do. We love talking about dairy farming, right? But make sure that as we're talking about dairy farming, that we highlight the cool things that we're doing and we acknowledge that. Even if it isn't the coolest thing that you've heard that week, it might be to that person that's across the conversation from you. That's like putting the big toe in the pond before jumping in into the social media realm. You know, I'll be honest, I'm an introvert. So, but yeah, when you start getting me talking about dairy farming, I light up and I'm like, let's go. You know, how much time you got?
I would say, generally speaking, we all scroll social media. And so I have taken a lot of my time that would be maybe me just scrolling and enjoying content and really pivoted to say, instead of like that hour I spend on social media doing that, like transition that into actually like growing my page, growing my following, be more strategic about the time I spend on my app. Like if I'm going to open Instagram, I'm not saying I never scroll, but I really try to be very intentional about the time I spend on the app and strategic in saying, okay, I'm going to get on. I'm going to interact with pages that are like mine. I'm going to do my posts. I'm going to hang out for a little longer and comment on my most recent comments. And then I'm going to exit out of the app and like move on with my day. And so being just more intentional with your time spent on the app can go a really long way for growing and sharing while not necessarily adding another like time commitment to your day.
I oftentimes feel like I'm using up the money in my piggy bank when it comes to social media. So I'm posting, but I'm not really putting stuff back in my piggy bank. I'm not feeling fulfilled by my time. And so this past summer, I decided to host a series of farm strolls where I invited my community and my neighbors to come and to literally just walk through the fields with me and to learn about why we plant corn the way that we do and when we apply manure and what maturity of a grass plant looks like. And they were small gatherings. I'm not talking hundreds of people. I'm talking 10, 12, 15. But with respect to the experience of engaging with the people that drive by my farm each day and seeing how they're perceiving my farm and taking in the sights and the smells, which were not all bad, for me to like reinvigorate my desire to connect with people, it actually took an in-person experience. It took me having my neighbors come and for me to be able to share what I'm doing, to remind myself, like, there's a story that I am and need to be telling. I just wanted to share that because it is not all social. Social's great. Social's a big deal. But it's also sometimes just inviting your neighbor to come walk a field with you.
I grew the least on my social media, like the year of COVID. And I fully blame it on the fact that I just wasn't going out and speaking at things. I wasn't going to events. I wasn't going to conferences and learning information or hearing from other farmers. And I felt that exact way. Sometimes you just need to focus on like filling your own cup up to be able to share about agriculture, like get back on fire for why you started to begin with. And I think one of the things that I share about too is being really rooted in your why, like why you choose to share, because then when you are kind of feeling down and like just not in it, when you go back to that, like, why did I start this in the first place? I feel like it kind of relights that fire for me to like get back out there and be like, okay, this is why I was doing this. This is why I love to do this.
I do too. I'm totally energized when I share with people. Social media does not energize me. I have to pay my sister a few hundred dollars a month to really help me do it because I just can't find the time and the energy to do it. But I love showing people around and I love talking to people. I love going to events and I really get energy from that.
And honestly, there's no event that's too small. I mean, when the local Rotary Club asked me to come talk at a senior center for 10 people, whatever. It's an audience. It's somebody who wants to know what we're doing. I'm going to take the time.
So you can get so wrapped into what everyone else is doing and feel like, oh, I should be sharing on this platform. I should be sharing here. I should be public speaking. When really, like, just make sure you're actually doing what you like to do, because it's going to come off so much more authentic, so much more real. It's going to come through when you share that you truly love whatever it is you're doing. And there are thousands of dairy farmers out there. And if we're all sharing and how we love to share, we're going to be covering a lot of bases. That's another reason why I'm a big proponent of everyone sharing their story. There's plenty of space for you to find what you love to share about and to go out there and do it.
I agree. Grassroots literally came from what we do every day. That whole concept we created as farmers. And that's what we're touching on is grassroots. If you're scared of social media, who cares? Do what you can in whatever lane you can, and it will make a difference.
I think the cornerstone of sustainability is thinking about the future. It's being optimistic about what's to come and our part in building that future that we want to be a part of. So I'm curious from both of you, what is the future for you when it comes to sharing our sustainability story? What do you plan to do?
So I actually have been working on a huge passion project. If you follow me on social media, you probably know about it by now. I teamed up with Natalie Kovarik, a cattle rancher who also advocates for sustainability on beef ranches. And we created a program called Elevate Ag. This won't come as a surprise if you've heard me talk for the last like 45 minutes, but Elevate Ag is really about helping farmers have the tools and resources they need to share their story. I believe so passionately that we all have an important story to tell, and I want to help farmers do that, make it easier, share everything I've learned, the pitfalls, the mistakes I've made, the mistakes Natalie's made over the last combined 10 years of sharing. We put them into an e-course. We're going to be launching on March 7th. Also, we're releasing our own podcast to accompany that and really help farmers. And beyond that, this course will actually help farmers understand how to better monetize their businesses, whether that be sharing on social or having an actual physical product. And so this is just a project I'm so excited about for the future, because I believe the future of agriculture sustainability is us sharing that and having people better understand what our sustainability story looks like.
Looking to the future for us, I'm always looking around the room to see if there's anyone my generation in the room, because oftentimes at the farm, I'm it. And I will tell you, future looks good. I mean, with my vendors, the fellow dairymen around me, we've shown up. We're here. The young generation is ready, and we're taking more of a voice than ever before. And that's really going to be huge for our sustainability story. So for us on our farm, we are transitioning to robots. And in that transition, a huge portion of that is focused on tourism and how can these robots be available for people to see potentially 24/7, where they can come and watch the cows being milked at any time. And then also having, you know, TVs in our on-site farm store so that they could watch the cows being milked. So as we're, you know, creating this expansion project, it's with the consumer in mind. We're thinking about them and how we're designing, building. It's cow number one and consumer number two. So that's really exciting for us. And we look forward to continuing to kind of share what we do. And the robots are going to really help us elevate that story in a big way.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I've learned so much in what you guys have talked about today. Appreciate you coming on. Tara, Melissa, you, Amanda, you're all in the one percentile of what you're doing. You're doing a fantastic job. But I think maybe more importantly, we touched on all of us as farmers are sustainable and we just need to lift where we stand. Thank you so much, Tara and Melissa. It's been a really fun discussion today. We appreciate you coming on. Amanda, thank you for your time and for what you're doing. Tune in to future episodes wherever you like to listen to podcasts, or check out the website at dairycheckoffpodcast.com for more future episodes. Until next time, have an awesome day.